Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's look at verse 24. We'll just start reading there. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? I love this. So run. This is what God says to you and I. So run that ye may obtain. Ah, that's a good thing for you and I, isn't it? We have seen the games a few years ago especially. It was not uncommon, I guess, in any part of the States or anywhere to see those that were up in the morning early. And they were running. And they didn't have a pizza on their side, and they didn't have a bottle of Coke over here, or a couple Snickers, or whatever. You see, they knew that they were in a race. And they knew that, in fact, is what we have here, that there weren't going to be two people that were going to come in first. Lance Armstrong. How many of you knew about Lance this last year? You know, what a race. There weren't going to be two. There was going to be one that was going to win. And we look and see in the world of sports today what lengths men will go to be number one. Well, that's not what we're talking about here, is it? That's not the race that we're in. One receiveth the prize. But he says to you and I, listen, my dear child, dear Christian, I want you to so run that you might win that prize. Every man that striveth, these are strong words. We know what it means. What does it mean to strive? I press toward the mark. Can you see the athlete there? Can you see the games and what is going on? And he's pressing forward. This is the terminology the Lord Jesus uses to speak to you and I about our life for Christ in this world. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, look at the comparison. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Do you know what has happened to the crown? Or whatever Lance Armstrong got last year. You know what's happened to the gold on that crown in the last year? It's begun to tarnish. And next year or the year after, the glory of that crown will be gone. And men will say to him, well, wait a minute, Lance. Where did you come in this year? That's all they care about. Or racing, or horse racing, or auto racing, or boxing, or whatever you want to, whatever the sport is you'll call. The crown that men receive is a corruptible crown. But what does it say here? But we, an incorruptible. What a day that is going to be. Remember what Paul said? I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, and listen to what Paul can say. He envisions the moment when the Lord Jesus is giving him that crown in that day, which he shall give me at that day. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, we an incorruptible. I therefore so run. Is it true of me? Am I running this way? I love to say again, this is the beauty of a Bible conference. That the Lord comes in and he does what he did this afternoon. He convicts one of his ways. And he helps him to do a 180. He does a turnaround. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but he says, I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection and so on. What a wonderful thing. You're running in that race. You tonight are a soldier. You're an athlete. You're a farmer. We look at all of these things that Scripture shows us of the place that we are in. Now, I think of one other reference to race. Hebrews. Hebrews 12. Have I given you any verses tonight that are new to you? Anybody hold their hand up and said, I've never heard of these verses? You see, the great effect, the great question is, what verse or what effect has this verse on my life right now? That's the wonderful thing. Hebrews 12. We also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I'll read the verses and then I'll comment. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking. Looking where? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then I'm reminded, pointed back to Calvary, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're talking a while ago about Lance Armstrong. You remember his backpack? Anybody remember that? Remember the saddlebags on his bike? No. Don't remember those either. You know what? If he were to talk to you about his race, and I'm sorry to tell you, he's not a believer. He gives God no glory for his cure of cancer. Don't know whether you know that or not. He gives God no glory. But I can tell you this, that if he were to give you a little lecture on how to win a bicycle race, he would say to you, you make it as light as you can, because it will hold you back in the race. It'll keep you from excelling. To do your best. You know what the Lord says? He says, my dear child, there are a lot of things in the lives of a lot of Christians that may not be wrong in and of themselves. But he says they're a weight to you. They hold you back. They keep you from doing your best for him. But you know one thing the Lord will never do? He'll never lay your weight aside. You never, me, Emil, our brother, he'll never lay aside for us what he's waiting for us to lay aside. This is an exercised heart. It says, in the language of what we had today, I want to serve him. I want, even as young people, to be a servant of the Lord Jesus. And I want to serve him in the very best way I can. And the Lord says, well, listen, if you want to do that, you need to look at areas of your life that are holding you back and that are keeping that. Maybe what I listen to, maybe what I look at, maybe where I go. You see, lay aside every. What does that mean? Every. You see, the Lord says, I mean business about this. And I want you to mean business too. Lay aside every weight